east, south, and west, a real part of the American scene is Maxwell House Coffee, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. A certain young man once made the following remark about a part of the American scene. Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it like we say it back home. Well, that young man has more comments on the American scene. He's your host for the evening. He's Meredith Wilson.
Why, good evening, all. You know, I had no idea when I wrote that song, Iowa, that it would ever make a college professor declare war on me. But it did. Most of you know that this is Iowa's centennial year, which means that Iowa has been one of these United States for 100 years now. And everybody's celebrating back home because they're pretty sure it'll be permanent. And everything was just fine until Dr. Lewis Worthington Smith, Dean Emeritus of the Drake University English Department, got a load of my song. Now, when an English professor spots a grammatical error in a sentence, he acts just like a farmer who spots a weevil in his cotton. Dr. Smith spotted one in the lyrics of my song. An error, not a weevil. And he blew his top. Or, in the case of an English professor, I suppose you'd say he burst his cranium. The doctor pointed out that I said, like we say it back home, where I should have said, as we say it back home. Now, I agree, of course, that as is grammatically correct. After all, I did go to Mason City High School, and although English wasn't my best subject, I eventually graduated. But I honestly use the word like on purpose because it sounds more natural. And if a song doesn't sound natural, it's hard to sing. Even a little novelty song like Who's Your Little Hooses? Who do you love? That's not grammatical either, but who cares? You mean to say that Dr. Smith might get together of an informal Saturday night with the head of the law school and maybe the dean of the conservatory and wind up singing, Who's Your Little Hooses? Whom do you love? No. But seriously, I know that the eminent Dr. Smith is just as good a sport as they come. Unless you have a sense of humor, you can't spend your life teaching the English language to young men who leave your classroom, meet a co-ed, and say, Hiya, babe, let's crawl. So I'm going to show him that I'm a good sport, too. I fixed up an impartial arrangement of Iowa for the King Sisters to do. Half the time, pure Dr. Smith, and the other half, not so pure, Wilson. Fair enough, Doctor?
Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it like we say it back home. It's the robin in the willows. It's the postmaster's friendly hello. Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it as we say it back home. It's the sumac in September. It's the squeak of your shoes in the snow.
It's the Sunday school and the old river bend. Songs on the porch after dark. It's the corner store and a penny to spend
on you and your girl in the park. Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it like we say it back home. It's a promise for tomorrow and a memory of long, long ago.
Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it as we say it, when you say it like we say it, when you say it as we say it back home.
Well, I wanted to show that I had no hard feelings toward Dr. Smith, and I also wanted something right in here that would be typical of the American scene, so I picked colleges. America has more colleges than any other country, which accounts for our large number of college graduates. And while they're inside those ivy-clad walls, looking forward to the day when they'll get an M.A. degree or a Ph.D. or just a simple check from home, They like to sing. In fact, you can hear entire student bodies putting their heart, soul, and lungs into songs which state emphatically that the old green and gold is marching down the field and tearing them apart, even when the old green and gold is being slaughtered 52-0 by the old brown and beige. Now, Ben Gage will sing the two songs in this melody spot, Sweetheart of Sigma Chi, a favorite of the campus and barbershop, and Pi Phi Sweetheart. That's a new sorority song which I wrote because I'm convinced that a girl who belongs to a sorority can have a sweetheart just as well as a fellow who belongs to a fraternity. And, of course, thousands of girls who never joined a sorority or even went to college are now married and have large families. Chicago got its name because wild onions grew there at one time, and Chicago was the Indian name for onion place. It was also the Indian word for skunk place, but that's no reason for the citizens of Chicago to feel self-conscious, just because some nearsighted Indian couldn't tell a skunk from an onion. I learned that interesting fact from a book called Names on the Land by George Stewart, which tells how our states and rivers and towns got their names. Texas got its name from the Indian word Techis, which means friends. And the people down there really live up to it. During the war, I met lots of friendly Texans in uniform who pointed out how lucky we Americans were to have Texas on our side. Hollywood got its name when the founders saw a bush with red berries on it and thought it was holly, but it was really a plant called Toyon. However, I don't think there's any danger that the name of this little town will be changed to Toyon Wood, or even, as some of his relatives may have suggested, to Zanuck Wood. That's just a sample of the hundreds of facts about American names that Mr. Stewart mentions. And after you've read them all, you get the feeling that you're closer to those Americans way back yonder who thought up the names. And somehow closer even to America itself. It's a book you're bound to like. In fact, I'll be very pleased if you like our medley from Carousel half as much.
Effect, Meredith.
You do, Ben? Well, I like it, too. Matter of fact, I guess that's why I put it in there.
Say, how long since you've ridden on a carousel?
You mean a merry-go-round? Oh, quite a few years, Ben.
Well, you'll still find the small fry on the magical merry-go-round when the carnival hits town today. And now, as always, there's the bearded lady and the strong man sharing the spotlight with games of chance, while the barker invites one and all to see the world from the top of the Ferris wheel. Yes, all over America, the traveling carnivals continue to be colorful, exciting parts of the American scene. You know, it makes me think, too, how over the years, Maxwell House Coffee has also become a very real part of the American scene. In this land where coffee itself is a national drink, more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House Coffee than any other brand. Yes, today it's Maxwell House wherever you go. And no wonder. For Maxwell House is a skillful blend of premium Latin American coffees, each contributing its own individual flavor. There are Manizales for mellowness, Medellins for richness, other choice Latin American coffees for vigor, and Bucaramangas for full body. Good reason why North, East, South, and West, America's favorite coffee is Maxwell House. Why not discover for yourself the rare goodness and flavor of this coffee that's always good to the last drop?
Did you know that in parts of East Africa you can find bananas 2 feet long and as big around as a man's arm? Isn't that interesting? I've always been fond of bananas, and that's why I get upset when I see a candlestick salad. That's one of those things where you peel an unfortunate, defenseless banana, stick it upright in the middle of a pineapple ring, and dribble mayonnaise down its side to resemble candle grease. Then you slap a cherry on top of it for a flame. People actually do that, you know. I say it's all right to eat a banana, but why make it look ridiculous? Other songwriters are fond of bananas, too, I guess, because they've written quite a few songs about them. There was Yes, We Have No Bananas, which became so horribly popular that it set the fruit back 50 years. Then there was I've Never Seen a Straight Banana, which must have involved a tremendous amount of research. And there was I Like Bananas Because They Have No Bones, which is very sound reasoning, I guess. Now, the most recent is called Chiquita Banana and has something to do with not putting bananas in the icebox because they turn brown. This song has apparently reached the pain in the neck stage in the East, judging from the gags about it on all the Eastern radio programs. Though, strangely enough, we've hardly heard it at all out here. So the King Sisters, who just made a recording of this song, are going to do it for you Westerners right now. And if you folks back East have anything else you'd rather do, you go right ahead. We'll call you in exactly 2 minutes and 40 seconds. 1, 2, 3.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say I come from Little Island down Equator Way. I sail on Big Banana Boat from Caribbean to see if I can help good neighbor policy. I bring a song about bananas. I sing it low, I sing it high, I make a hit with Americanos. Sing a song about bananas. I could sing about the moonlight on the very, very tropical equator. But no, I sing about bananas and the refrigerator. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way when they are flecked with brown and have a golden hue. Bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad, put them in a pie, any way you want to eat them. Say impossible to beat them. But bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator. So you should never put bananas in the refrigerator. Bananas have skin that people love to touch, but they get freckles if you touch too much. So keep them comfy and don't ever chill. You'll find that they keep until you start to peel. Poor little banana comes so far away from South America, she's come to stay. Between you and me, I've a great big hunch. Poor little banana's gonna miss the bunch. Love to sing about bananas. They're the apple of my eye. Going crazy about bananas. Cross my heart and hope to die. I could sing about the very, very tropical equator. But as for your refrigerator, poor little banana, she hates her.
Oh, Easterners, come on back. We're all through with the bananas. I was only kidding, anyhow. I knew you wouldn't walk out on the King Sisters. Last week we played a Chopin waltz, by the way, and I may possibly have offended someone by saying, in effect, that anybody who doesn't like Chopin should consult a psychiatrist. Well, we're going to play another Chopin waltz, and what I said still goes.
Say, Meredith, I was wondering, did you hear anything from George and Gracie about our show last Thursday?
Yes, I did, Ben. They enjoyed it very much. But Gracie got the strange impression that I talked quite a bit. Were you conscious of that, Ben?
Well,
It seemed to me that I showed remarkable restraint. Don't you think so?
Well, yes, I
realize that some people become fascinated by the sound of their own voice, but that could never be said about me, could it?
Well, no, I
don't think of it, you don't talk very much either, Ben.
No, I don't, except when times when I have something really important to say.
Well,
And this is one of those times. Anything that has nationwide appeal is certainly important enough to talk about, and today, north, east, south, and west, you'll discover it's Maxwell House wherever you go.
Well,
yes, Maxwell House is a very real part of the American scene. The fact is, more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House coffee than any other brand. You see, Maxwell House is a combination of many choice coffees, each carefully selected, then blended by men who've made blending an art. And to bring out the full strength and flavor of every bean in the blend, there's Radiant Roasting, a scientific process that brings you great coffee at its delicious, satisfying best. And now that the warm weather is here, remember that Maxwell House iced coffee always makes a marvelously refreshing summertime drink. Icing coffee is a real test of flavor, and the Maxwell House flavor really stands up. So, friends, do yourself a favor. Next time, simply say Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop.
Well, it's time for the familiar finale, and I won't bother you with titles because you know the song just as well as I do. By the way, any of you folks notice the different ways they announce song titles on radio programs? There's the cute approach where the announcer says, "What are you going to play now, Joe?" And the band leader says, "I'm going to play After You've Gone." And the announcer says, "Gee, I wish you'd play now so I can hear it." And then the band leader says, "No, you don't understand. The name of the song is After You've Gone." And then the announcer says, "Oh!" And the band leader plays After You've Gone. Well, they didn't fool anybody, and they wasted 10 seconds besides. Then there's the dignified, semi-poetic approach where the announcer says in hushed tones, "As the last rays of the dying sun fade away and the moon mounts into the sky, there comes that magic twilight hour which marks the meeting of night and day." Now, that method doesn't fool anybody either, but it has the advantage of only wasting 5 seconds. Frankly, wouldn't you rather I'd skip the whole thing?
All through the day, I dream about the night. I dream about the night here with you. Till the time when I'm here with you. Down falls the sun, I run to meet you. The evening mist melts away. Recall the kiss I dreamed of all through the day.
We thought the love was over, that we were really through. I said I didn't love him, that we'd begin anew. And you can all believe me, we sure intended to. But we just couldn't say goodbye. The chair and then the sofa, they broke right down and cried. The curtain started waving for me to come inside.
I tell you confidentially, the tears were hard to hide.
And we just couldn't say goodbye.
The clock was striking 12 o'clock. It smiled on me below. With folded hands it seemed to say,
we'll miss you if you go. So I went back and kissed him, and when I looked around, the room was singing love songs and dancing up and down. And now we're both so happy, 'cause at last we found that we just couldn't say goodbye.
I put in that little bit of you and I as a reminder that you and I live in a big country, but we pride ourselves more on the size of our hearts than on the number of miles between the Atlantic and the Pacific. If you think the proof of the pudding on that is in the eating, all right then, let's talk about eating, or not eating, which is what I wanted to talk about anyway. The thing is, millions of people overseas today aren't eating. One way you and I can help them is by saving and sharing on wheat products and fats. And here's another simple, direct way. Mail off a check or money order tonight to Emergency Food Collection, New York City. That's Emergency Food Collection, New York City. You'll be paying for food in tin cans for famine relief overseas. Do it now. Judge the size of your check by the shape of your pocket and the size of your heart. Good night.
Join us again next week when we'll all be back. Meredith Wilson and his Coffee Time Orchestra, the King Sisters, and yours truly, Ben Gage. Until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.